You're listening to Free Indeed Radio, the podcast from Free Indeed Ministries.
Free Indeed Radio is a place for all who struggle to reconcile same-sex attraction and a relationship with God. Our goal is not to condemn, shame, fear, or judge your life or lifestyle, but to bring same-sex attraction and sexual identity into spiritual light through the Word of Jesus Christ, while equipping you to love your neighbor and yourself. Today on Free Indeed Radio.
Because the answer, it's grace. It's always grace. And grace is simple, but it's not always easy. So we don't need to make it into this whole culture war of fighting for our rights and fighting for what we deserve and then giving everybody else what's left.
And now, here are your hosts, Brandon and John.
Hello, welcome back to Free Indeed Radio. I'm Brandon.
And I'm John.
And we are here to talk about rising above culture wars and exactly what that means and what that means for you and for the Christian. And we're just really excited to talk about this. So let's just start out with love, I guess, is a good place to start. So, well, what exactly is love? And you ask your average person, and it would be something along the lines of, you know, well, love is a feeling that you get when you want to help someone, or you're compassionate towards them, or, you know, love is an emotion. And well, like, now, what do you think about that, John?
Well, and you have that, and the love that you feel for family versus someone that you just meet. But yeah, it definitely is an emotion that drives us.
Okay, so then let's take it a little bit further, and I would say that love is not an emotion.
How so?
Because you can have emotions all day long. Emotions come and go. Happiness, sadness, you know, Bible says sorrow lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning, you know. There's just precedent after precedent of emotions not dictating reality. And if God, you know, if God didn't feel that particular emotion towards us at a certain point, then he wouldn't be loving us at that point.
So then would you say love is not a what, but a who?
Well, I would take it more in the direction of love is not a what you feel, it's a what you do, it's a what you choose. Love is a verb.
Yeah, well, and it also comes in the form of God, right?
Well, yeah, God is love. I mean, but he's not this abstract force, you know, this force of all these good emotions coming in the universe. People can really confuse that idea. Oh, God is love. Well, then God is this neat little abstract idea.
Right.
People believe to be love as an idea, and I want to put a face to that idea, which is it's action in your life here now.
Like grace.
Yeah. So in the Bible, we're called to love. We're called to love. It's important to love everybody because, you know, God commands us to love and the Great Commission and that. But like, where exactly, how important is it? Like, let's kind of...
Well, and how do you get there?
Right.
Because before you have Christ in your life, you think you can love, but you really can't. And even though we're called to love without the Holy Spirit, without God, who is love, dwelling within you, we don't have that capacity. What he's talking about takes a supernatural power to be able to love other people, especially people outside of our families or those who we choose to take in and into our lives. And even sometimes those people, we don't, you know, fully love them. We just like kind of being around him. Mm-hmm. So I think it takes it into the bigger, more powerful aspect of what love is. You're right, it's not just a verb. It is an all-encompassing depth of who we are and what we are.
Mm-hmm. So then, if somebody can choose to be there, if somebody can choose to, because it's not just this giant grandiose thing. Love is an action, and actions are made by choice. So if we are in this place where we believe that love is just this idea, and you kind of sort of just flow in and out of this idea, like this whole New Agey thing, then you're not really taking responsibility for that. You're not choosing love. And love is a choice, and it's always a choice. I mean, sometimes loving people is easy. But then, you know, you get into scriptures where it says, you know, what benefit is it to love people who love you? Because even sinners do that. Even people who walk in the world do that.
Right.
The choice of love is where you love somebody who it's hard to love. And where I want to touch is people are making that a lot harder than it really is. Because the answer, it's grace. It's always grace. And grace is simple, but it's not always easy. So we don't need to make it into this whole culture war of fighting for our rights and fighting for what we deserve and then giving everybody else what's left.
Right. I'm right. You're wrong. So give me what I want. That certainly goes back, though, to the point of in order to love properly, you have to have a relationship with love, and that is through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, using that power through His Holy Spirit, you can reach out and not create, as we've said, the culture war. You can break down those barriers and reach across to anybody and everybody with truly Christ-like love.
Well, right, because God is the source of all love. Christ is the source of all love in this universe. And you think of any loving action that may have happened in history, it's a result of Christ being alive, of God existing, because He is so overwhelmingly loving and His love is so furious and unrelenting that His love has nowhere else to spill but into everybody. And since we're made in His image, the only love that we're able to express to other people is a result of knowing Him to some degree, or the fact of living in His creation, right?
Right, I'm with you.
So God being the ultimate source of all love, it would make sense to draw people to Him. And not like dragging people along, but it would make sense if we're letting that love that we know He has for us flow through us, it's going to attract people. Because love itself is attractive.
Right.
And, you know, we're the salt of the earth. Salt does two things. Salt flavors and it irritates. Well, and it preserves. And if we're flavoring to a heart that's desperate for flavor, then we're going to be attractive and they're going to want more. If we're irritation to somebody who has an open wound and doesn't want it to heal, but is around salt, then they're not going to want to be around it, and they're going to recess back into their little hole or whatever.
Right, it creates that isolation. I think where you're going with that is really perfect, because people who want to be reached, who would draw near the light or the salt, whatever you want to call it, to the Christian, they're not coming so that you can tell them what's wrong with them. They're not coming so you can tell them that they have an open wound. They're coming because they're thinking that they can trust you. The Bible says that, you know, we are, I just lost my train of thought. Anyway, they'll know that we're Christians by our love. That's what it essentially tells them. So if someone's drawn to you because of that, they're looking for your Christ-like love. And like you said, if you throw salt in that wound, what have you done for the cause of Christ? That's what you really need to think about, not what have you done for you. You might feel justified that somebody finally told them why they're always hurting. But what have you really done for the cause of Christ? And into their life, have you brought that light?
Right. Well, and to stay on salt for just a second, this kind of just came up to my mind. If we are flavoring to the tongue and burning to the wounds, where should we be applying ourselves? We should be applying to where it's sweet.
Yeah.
To where it's flavoring and enjoyable. Right. Like if it, and that goes towards life and lifestyle. If we're the flavoring, you know, God is the healer. We're not the healer. We're salt. Salt doesn't really heal. You put salt into a wound, it doesn't. It's not a really good healing agent.
It does hurt, though.
Yeah, it hurts. Hurts a lot. And so our point is, every Christian should love. Obviously, this podcast is on a same-sex attraction context, so, here it comes. Every Christian should love their gay neighbor without condemnation, without rubbing salt in their wounds, because the Bible, and three basic biblical reasons that we'll cover here. One is we're commanded to. The Great Commission is a perfect example. Go forth into all the world and make disciples. It doesn't say go forth into all the world and rub salt in wounds. It says to go forth and to make disciples of all the world. So, all the world, I mean, that means everybody. So we shouldn't be assuming anything about anybody, but always ready to give that love where it's needed. And,
And it doesn't say pick and choose who needs it. Right. It doesn't give you permission to look at somebody and make an assumption about their relationship with God or potential relationship or anything else. In fact, it doesn't even give you permission to make an assumption about their lifestyle, no matter what it seems to look like or how obvious it would appear because of what we've learned about lifestyles.
And the second reason we're command, is love your neighbor as yourself. And well, once again, your neighbor means everybody. And if we're commanded to love everybody as ourselves, that's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, it's self-explanatory, but it's not really.
It's hard to do because we judge ourselves as lovable based on what we think how much God loves us.
Right.
And so when we become lovable, when we are able to receive love, then we are able to do these things that God has called us to do, which is to love our neighbor as ourself. The point being there, again, that we love ourselves in the same way that Christ sees us. We can forgive ourselves. We stand up and walk in grace. So when we fall, we get right back up immediately. Right. There's no waiting time with Jesus. There's nothing to hold you back from grace. It's get up and go, and that's what we do with the people that we meet in life.
Right. Well, and seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And a life that's characterized by grace will be abundant with the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
You know, peace, joy, love, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all those things. And the more a firm understanding you have about how Christ sees you, the more you will express how Christ sees you to other people, the more you will start to see them as Christ sees them.
Right.
That's a great prayer to have, is, you know, Lord, help me to see people like you see them. But that first needs to start out with, help me to see me as you see me.
Right, and to really connect with the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. When God looks at us, he sees us through Christ. He sees Christ, and then he sees us in righteousness. And as we begin to, as you said, Brandon, as we begin to see other people that way, give me the eyes to see, that's a real prayer. Lord, help me to see it. Help me to hear and use my tongue. You know, you got to take control of that tongue so that you can say the right things in love and in a compassionate way and in a righteous way so that the person receiving it will, you know, not be torn away from you or feel like you're trying to hurt them. Mm-hmm. And God will take care of that. And even if they say they're offended or act like they're offended, that's okay. Because if you did it with the right heart and in the way that God has moved you to do it, the way the Holy Spirit has told you to do it, then you don't have to worry about necessarily the result because you are only one part of the plan for their life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are certainly ways that that won't look, you know, or at least that it shouldn't look, you know, like, well, has God told you to get out of this lifestyle yet? Or has God told you to quit doing that yet? Because, you know, we all are.
Right. Listen to our What Not to Say podcast and you'll get a better idea of what Brandon's talking about.
Right.
Let's not condemn when we're supposedly trying to build up. And I think that goes to self-righteousness too, Brandon, because people oftentimes say, well, I just did what the Bible said to do. Well, the Bible didn't say go and condemn because it doesn't anywhere say that. And right. It is God's the only one powerful enough to condemn.
Well, and that actually goes into our next point. The reason we should love everybody, including, you know, your gay neighbor, meaning everybody in the world. Not that everyone in the world is gay, but you know what I'm talking about.
Right. Only in our world, Brandon.
Jesus never condemned anybody.
Right.
So when these people who are running around pointing the finger and saying, you know, you're going to hell because of this, or, you know, you don't have a relationship with Christ because of the way that you act, or, you know, all this stuff, it's not only... it's not only uncivil, it's unscriptural.
Right.
You know, there is no reason for you to say to another being, you're going to hell.
Right. In fact, it goes completely, what the Bible does say about that, like you said earlier.
Which is judge not, lest you be judged.
There it is.
Because we are not the Holy Spirit. We are not, we're expressly forbidden from doing that.
Right.
Because, you know, to the same measure that you judge, you'll be judged. You know, if you judge somebody by the law, you're going to be judged by the law.
And I think he did that so that, again, we could be brought to the end of our humanity, you know, our human selves. Again, we're not God enough to be able to judge or do any kind of sentencing, if you will. So he's made it clear, don't try.
Mm-hmm.
And stay out of that arena. That's mine. And if we stay out of God's arena, we keep our hands off of what he does, because he does it righteously, then we are left in one place, and that's the place of love and grace.
Right. And even you take examples of the way Christ dealt with people who were obviously being condemned by society, like the Samaritan woman at the well. If you look at that whole situation... and you even look at it culturally, Samaritans were to Jews as the openly hardcore, you know, flamingly gay guy in the lifestyle is to your conservative Christian. I mean, it's the same kind of cultural offense that would, right, that would be there. Like almost this kind of hierarchy, if you will. Samaritans were the lowest of the low, and Samaritan women were even lower than that.
Right.
And, you know, divorced Samaritan women were like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you're still breathing. So this whole situation, you look right at it, it carries a huge cultural connotation, because Jesus, being a Jewish man, approaching a divorced Samaritan woman, which, I mean, Jesus is God. He knows this person inside and out already. So this whole thing, even in his approach to her, is a huge testament of seeing past what society says, seeing past the person's outsides and what their situation in hand they were dealt in society, or even the choices that they've made, seeing past all that and seeing the person, the beloved creation of Christ, the beloved creation of God.
Seeing the life, not a lifestyle or where you were born, that's for sure.
Right. And well, all that he says to her, you know, he's like, give me a drink. She's like, how can you, being a Jew, talk to me, a Samaritan? Like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? He's like, go get your husband. Well, I don't have a husband. And he's like, you don't have a husband. You've had 5 husbands, and the guy that you're with isn't your husband. And he didn't say that. I mean, you examine that, and it's not in a negative context at all. There's no negative inflection in how that reads. It's just Jesus stating exactly what he perceived in his spirit, to get the woman to realize that he wasn't your average guy, that he might have a little bit more to say, because, you know, what did she say later? Come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did. You know, it's not come and see this man who, you know, knows the law and is able to pick you apart by it. It's come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. So it's just this supernatural encounter. Jesus didn't condemn her with that information. And it's okay to perceive somebody's sins. It's okay to perceive somebody's flaws. It's not okay to condemn somebody for it. It's not okay to crush them with it and say, you need to change this before God is going to like you. You need to change this before you are in God's good graces. You need to have control over this, but, you know, before X, Y, or Z, you know, whatever. That's where we're going with that.
Yeah, the point being to approach the life and stay there. You naturally make assumptions, and you will, about someone's lifestyle, especially if it's obvious. And that's something that's part of humanity. We're not going to condemn you for that. But what we're saying is to go beyond that with the love of the Lord. Because now the witness, you're not witnessing to their lifestyle. You're not witnessing to the clothes they wear or the way they sound when they speak. You're witnessing to their heart, where they live, to their soul, you know, where God wants to penetrate and take over. And therefore, you cannot condemn, because there's no condemnation for you. You don't have condemnation for them. And so it's about them accepting their forgiveness in Christ, just like you did.
Well, yeah, right. And even the next example, though, with the woman caught in adultery, who's about to be stoned by the Pharisees, she, you know, was caught in adultery in the act and brought her before Jesus. And by the law, we have to stone this woman to death. And you know that whole song and dance, well, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. One, most people don't realize that he wasn't asking them to examine themselves whether they had sin or not, because they all knew it. It was just a matter of whether, you know, how long it took them to swallow their pride and walk away. But most people don't realize that Jesus was the only one there qualified to stone her. He was the only one qualified to condemn her. Mm-hmm. He was the only one qualified to impute iniquity to her. But after everyone had left, he goes over to her and he's like, woman, where are your accusers? She looks up at him, and all she says is, nowhere, Lord.
Right.
Lord. That's the key word, Lord. She even though she had just done this, she didn't grovel for forgiveness. She didn't grovel, you know, oh, please, I've done such a wicked thing. I'm so gross.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't go through all this, this huge period of, you know, self-deprecation and dejection until she felt ready to receive forgiveness. It was this, just this moment where she realized this guy is Lord. Nobody calls Jesus Lord but by the Spirit. And so in that moment, he says, neither do I condemn you. That's it. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. For one, Jesus is the only one qualified to say that. We can't tell somebody to go and sin no more because we're sinful creatures.
Right.
And we're going to go do the same thing.
Yes.
Probably this afternoon.
Right.
So, and it's not like a go and never do this again type of thing. I believe that he said that to her because she believed in him, received forgiveness in that moment. And just like it says, I believe it's in 1 John, people who are washed by the blood of the Lamb, who are walking by faith, according to God, in God's eyes, they can't sin anymore because his grace and his sacrifice covers all of that. I mean, Jesus hadn't died yet, so his blood wasn't eradicating her sins yet, but the promise was still there.
Right.
And so, like, when you... It's a hard thing to grasp, and it took me a long time, but when you are in Christ, literally to God, you can do no wrong. You know, not in like go out and do anything because God approves of it, because that's not right. It. Paul expressly addresses that in Romans, I believe, 5 and 6. But it's an express, you are forgiven.
Because he sees us through what Christ did. Mm-hmm. And Christ did it perfectly and completely, so it's done. So that's how he sees mm-hmm. us, because we've been adopted as into him as sons. And we are the flesh of his flesh, the bone of his bone. I mean, we're there. So the point being is to get other people there. And the way to do that is not to condemn them. And I think the point that Brandon was making about the fact that the woman didn't go through a whole dissertation like we do today. She didn't go through the victim mentality. She didn't have to have a pill. She didn't have to have a doctor or a psychiatrist or anybody tell her anything. All she had to do was accept what he said, and it was done. She could walk away and not go back into the adulterous relationship or whatever that she was doing. And not that especially not telling you folks that out there with same-sex attraction or that live a gay lifestyle, when you accept Christ, are you still going to have those feelings and thoughts? Well, probably, yeah. In fact, yes. But it doesn't mean that God isn't still with you, and that same forgiveness, that same love, that same go and sin no more context isn't with you. It is. And that will come to life and to light for you as you walk with Christ. He'll explain that to you and help you with that in your life.
Right. And so many people expect, even in this, in like witnessing or telling somebody about Christ, they expect this person to just break down and have this huge moment and have this huge, you know, come to Jesus party and, you know, this thing, you know, where, oh, I feel so bad for my sins. I need forgiveness. Like, you don't, everybody needs to come to a point where they realize they need a savior. That's true. But when you screw up, you don't need to wallow in your guilt, and you don't need to expect the other person to wallow in their guilt and swallow the pill that you're trying to feed them about how sinful they are. Never drag somebody to the cross. Never drag someone to the cross. I mean, well, John 3:16, you know, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him may never perish but have everlasting life. But no one ever quotes John 17, which is, for God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world.
Right. And only he can save. You know, Brandon, we say that a lot, mm-hmm. but it has to be repeated. Only God can save. Only the blood mm-hmm. of Jesus can save. So again, it takes you out of any responsibility to tell people what's wrong with them, to condemn them for what they're doing, to make an assumption about their lifestyle, to judge people. It takes all that away. He takes all that away and says, I have come to save the world.
Right. And and that goes back to our main point. You can love your gay neighbor, whether you are like a staunch conservative redneck or, you know, whatever demographic you fall into, because it's not your job to change them.
Right.
You know, so many people have this idea, well, if I love them, then that means I need to change them, so I'm just going to hands off it. Well, if you have that perspective, good. Keep your hands off, because you're just going to be doing damage.
Yeah. God will send somebody else. But remember, if you've been called, Brandon, like we talk about, if they've been called and then they don't do it, they're going to take the hands off approach. God's still going to take care of the other person. It's not like he had to have you. But
you don't get to participate in that blessing.
Yeah, you miss out on that wonderful gift, that amazing thing that God had for you. How tragic is that?
Well, and what we're rapidly finding out is the more that we minister to the church, is the more that they believe that there is condemnation for themselves. You know, we've talked to people who, you know, after we've presented at youth groups and stuff like that, well, yeah, we have to change our things, and I keep a gossip jar because, you know, I'm storing up wrath for myself in the day of judgment, and God's wrath is going to fall on me.
Yeah.
And, you know, people don't realize that Christ is not condemning you for the sins that you commit, because they're all forgiven. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. It's a great verse to memorize. And also, Romans 5, it's somewhere in Romans 5, but God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So you can love these people because you do not need to tell them to change. You do not need to condemn them. You don't need to tell them that they need to change themselves before God loves them. And you are not condemned in Christ. For you do not need to change who you are for God to love you. And, you know, the more that we do this, the more I find out people just need to know how much God really loves them. And that's what we mean by change. All we want to do is change your mind about God.
Right.
Because the Christian who doesn't love doesn't know how much he's loved. And doesn't accept that.
Right.
So that's what we're trying to change. So thank you for listening today on Free Indeed Radio. And we appreciate your patronage. And please come back, because there's a lot more good stuff to come. We're going to be attending a conference here in Central Oregon, a Prepare the Way Youth Conference. Please come out And we're going to be hosting a breakout session, and there's going to be a whole bunch of other good stuff that's going on, tons of really talented speakers and a lot of great information. So we look forward to seeing you there. Now go and change someone else's mind about God.
Thank you for listening to Free Indeed Radio. Send us your prayer requests, comments, and suggestions to freeindeedco@gmail.com. We would love to hear how the Lord has touched your life and rejoice with you. Don't forget to sign up to follow us by email on the website and get our app from the Google Play Store. Free Indeed is listener-supported, and we invite you to come check out how you can support us through our website at www.freeindeedco.com. Free Indeed Ministries believes that your tithes belong to your local church, and we receive your donations as offerings to support the mission of Free Indeed to advance the gospel of grace throughout the world. The Lord bless you as you go into your world and change someone else's mind about God.